This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good choice of music.
Thank you.
Is this Flock of Seagulls?
Isn't it close? No, this is Aha.
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 Nice of you to care.
Aha. But the song is Iran.
This is Take on Me. You're 0 for 2.
Wow, I'm way off. Okay. Well,
even Collar's disappointed in you.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, let's bring in Matthew Collar so we can have enough time to rip me for this. Good morning, buddy. How are you?
I mean, the song is a couple of years old, so I think it's... Collar wasn't even born yet.
That's the truth. Matthew, we've been debating whether the Combine is actually worth anything. I think it's just a way for the NFL to keep eyeballs for another month. Pete says there is some value in it. Where do you fall on the spectrum here of this?
Well, I mean, for one, I think it is... a huge get together for the NFL to all go and, you know, work out trades for Deebo Samuel and, hey, maybe a trade for Sam Darnold to another team. Right. So, you know, like there is a lot of discussions that go on there. There's meetings with agents, which is also a pretty huge deal. There's also podcasters who lost their voice by doing so many interviews. So I apologize for that. I'm still working through that, but you know, I think that's a big part of it is, you know, the meetings with the agents and everything else. And then the interviews with the players, I think, is a pretty big deal there. The medicals with them is a really big thing that's talked about all the time. And as far as actually getting on the field, you see the top players not doing this stuff anymore because it's not going to affect their draft stock. And they could pull a hammy or something, and that could affect their offseason. But when you're talking about the middle, when you're talking about guys that could be a fringe, you know, first-round pick versus a late second round or something, depending on what their athletic traits are, you could put it on paper and show how good of an athlete you are. I'll just give you an example. Somebody like Darius Alexander from Toledo, who I think might be on the Vikings' radar, you know, he went to Toledo. It's not like anybody really knows who this guy is, and the tape, he's playing against these MAC teams. It's not like he went to Alabama. Well, he goes to the Combine, he shows that he's every bit the athlete of all the other great defensive tackles. I think for players like that, it's absolutely huge. But if you're talking about, like, you know, Ashton Jeanty or something, well, he's not going to have any problems getting drafted. But, you know, I did think I was pretty surprised by the quarterbacks not throwing here and waiting until their pro day, because I think it actually did help J.J. McCarthy and Michael Penix last year to get out on the field and throw. And both of them showed how much progress in J.J. McCarthy's case he had made. And Penix really showed off the cannon of how hard he could throw the ball. So, yeah, I mean, I think it does matter to some extent, but it's not like you're drafting players off of what they do in this. It's only just one data point for teams.
It's kind of the bragging points too, right? I mean, I'll give you a great example. So who blew away everybody in this and already was an All-American? He was already a first-team All-SEC guy, but that safety, Nick Amunwori, 6'3", 220-pound safety, runs a 4.38. He has a 43-inch vertical. He does all of these things. That's going to be up there for a really long time, and a lot of people are talking about this guy being potentially one of the biggest freaks ever to go to the NFL draft. And I think that, you know, if he was somewhere, you know, he's a safety, because so oftentimes they're not going to go quite as high as some of the other, you know, glorious positions in football, especially quarterbacks. But maybe this did help him. You know, just one more reason to say, you know, he's not only a great football player, but this guy actually has all of the tools, even off the field, where he's got the speed, he's got the strength, he's got everything that you'd want in a player like him. So I think there are some players out there, Matthew, that I think that it's great to see them. If we're going to go to the combine anyway, then go to the combine and compete. If you're not going to throw the ball, you're not going to do anything really at the combine, leave those quarterbacks all at home.
Yeah. I was pretty disappointed to see those quarterbacks decide that they were afraid to go out there and throw the ball next to Jackson Dart. You'd think if any year you wanted to do it, it would be this year. But to your point, yeah, I mean, there's always players every year that, you know, they're just in the mix. They're another guy, but then they show that their athleticism might have more upside than what people expected. I mean, even the Texas wide receiver, Matthew Golden, is it Texas, where he, I mean, I think people thought he was fast, but is he sub 4.3 fast? The thing, though, that teams do have to be careful about, and we have seen, you know, a lot of this in the past, is somebody goes to the combine, and the last impression they leave is that they are an unbelievable athlete, and teams maybe forget a little bit about, you know, some of the weaknesses of that player, and they can overrate a bad combine. Remember, Orlando Brown had that horrific combine. He turned out to be a longtime NFL starting left tackle. And how about Kyle Hamilton? I think he ran like a 4.57, and everyone went, oh, he's too slow. And the league started, you know, they let him drop, and then he becomes this great player. No surprise, I guess the Ravens didn't fall for this twice with both of those guys. But, you know, I think sometimes it could be a little bit like you can fool yourself into thinking that. But, you know, I think also you're trying to learn about a lot of other parts of the game that we don't care as much about from the outside. So we love the 40s, we love the jumps, all that stuff. But as I was watching the defensive tackles the other night, I mean, the NFL teams are judging their movement skills, right? Like, what types of things will this guy have to do for our team if we draft him? And that's stuff that isn't sexy. We can't put numbers to it. We can't, you know, get excited about it. But if you're the Vikings and you're looking at those defensive tackles, you're trying to figure out what guys can handle the things that Brian Flores wants to bring. So I think that's another part of just having value. But, you know, just as liking sports, it's kind of like a cool track meet, you know, to watch. And then what I always do with the combine is I come home on Thursday and I watch Daniel Jeremiah so I can learn about all the prospects just like everybody else. So I think that's another part of it too for the audience, is to try to, you know, learn about these guys and figure out, like, who's your team going to draft. Yeah.
Matthew Collar from Purple Insider joining us. All right, well, some of the bigger NFL headlines that come out this week certainly has to do with the quarterback. Matthew Stafford's going to stay in L.A., it sounds like. So, Matt, what does this mean now for Sam Darnold as these dominoes start to fall into place? Do we have a better idea coming out of the combine what's going to happen to him?
Well, I do appreciate that Stafford got a ski trip out of it from Tom Brady. That's nice. But I'm not terribly surprised that he stayed with the good team as opposed to going to the bad teams. Shocker. But, you know, for Sam Darnold, it's really funny because nobody really knows what's going to happen next year. Here's what I can tell you, that the Vikings went to Indianapolis to go out and have conversations with teams and try to figure out, will someone trade for Sam Darnold if they franchise tag him? That was their main goal of going to the combine, outside of scouting the prospects, was to find that out. And I don't know the answer, and from reading NFL insiders, I don't think anybody else knows the answer either, because those conversations happened between Chip Kelly and Kevin O'Connell, who, by the way, Chip Kelly's the OC for the Raiders. Kevin O'Connell works for Chip Kelly, so there's a connection there, and I think they're the most likely team to be interested. My thing is, there's so many teams that need quarterbacks, and Sam Darnold is far and away the best option next to, is Daniel Jones the third best option or second best option? Russell Wilson, Justin Fields. I mean, he is far and away the best option for a team that is quarterback desperate, like the Raiders, like the Giants. I don't like this quarterback class. So even some of the teams at the top, I think you're putting your life in your hands with Shedeur Sanders if you're going to draft him. So, you know, I think that there should be a team that's interested, but all those teams could just say, hey, we know that you want J.J. McCarthy to be your quarterback, so we're not going to give up assets and take on this huge cap hit. We'll just have a bidding war for Sam Darnold when he becomes a free agent. I don't know which way it's going to go, but it's one way or the other. It's like if they find a team who wants to skip the line and just get Sam Darnold, then they might be able to get a third-round pick for him. If not, then they'll get that third-round pick next year in terms of the compensation pick.
In terms of what the Vikings and where they're sitting right now, who do you view as the pick that they would make? Are you looking at running back? Because I've heard some of that. Are you looking at what position? Is it safety? Is it running back? I can't figure it out myself, Matthew, and you probably have a better take on this one. So tell me what you're thinking right now, at least, and that might change.
Yeah. Oh, let me add one more thing to the Sam Darnold dynamic real quick, and then I'll get to that, which is that Kevin O'Connell was so clear that J.J. McCarthy's recovery has him on track to start the offseason program that any conversation about like bringing Darnold back because we don't know where McCarthy stands, he made sure to make clear to kind of wash that out. To your question, Pete, I've got defensive tackles circled on my list. I think the Vikings did a great job creating blitzes and getting pressure that way. But as we saw from the Eagles in the Super Bowl, and I don't know how many GMs and coaches I heard say this, like rushing four always and forever, the purple people eaters, the fearsome foursome, the steel curtain, whatever defense you want to talk about, rushing four is the best way to win the NFL. Everybody knows that. The Vikings can rush two currently. And I think they really, really want somebody who could get up the field. Derek Harmon is a name that I heard from Oregon who had a great workout. But I mentioned Darius Alexander. That's number one on my list right now. And after that, like cornerback, who's playing corner? And that's another thing that was a big buzz at the combine was like the Vikings want Byron Murphy back, but apparently there are numerous teams who also want Byron Murphy. So if he leaves, look at their cornerback room. It's basically Mekhi Blackmon and no one. So they could look at the corners. It's just that a guy that I'm really interested in is Will Johnson from Michigan and where his stock stands, because I think draft analysts tend to overrate corners a lot. We see those guys fall. Like Terrion Arnold last year was supposed to be a top 12, 15 pick. He ends up going in the back end of the first. I'm thinking of Joey Porter Jr. a couple years ago. That could provide an opportunity. So those two positions, and then, of course, the guard. Everyone was talking about guards. Which tackles could move to guards? Well, Tyler Booker is the top name there from Alabama, but there's also a really intriguing guy, and when he did his weigh-in today, it was very impressive. Gray Zabel, who comes from North Dakota State, is this enormous tackle there, but people think he could play guard right away. And if you're the Vikings, I mean, look at your offense. What are you missing? You're really missing a impose-your-will element to the offense. We know they could pass,
yeah,
but can they just shove the ball down somebody's throat? Absolutely not. Not even close. That kind of starts in the middle. And so I think all those positions are very serious needs, and you can only draft once at the moment. So then the trade down conversation starts to come up. But I think as far as where the Vikings sit, there will be a lot of really good prospects at the positions of need.
Mm-hmm. Holy cow. The Zabel kid is 6'6", 305.
Oh, yeah.
What a behemoth.
Yeah. He's quite large.
Matthew, thank you as always. Appreciate your contribution. Glad you had a good time down in Indianapolis. And it's the best time of the year, right? Now we got a month to speculate what's going to happen. So thank you as always, buddy.
Hey, what's Najarian's 40 right now? What's Najarian running for a 40?
Man, if I can get under 5, I'd be happy.
There's no way you can get under 5 feet.
That's a pretty to get under. I don't think I ever ran under five. I think I did. I feel like I got timed in high school, and I was like 5'8" was my 40 time.
There you go.
Pete's a better athlete.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks a lot,
Appreciate it. We'll step aside. We're going to do the fast break coming up next. Ken Pete Najarian. Could you even do a 40? Do you think?
No, my knees are shot, man.
Yeah. I don't know that I could either. I don't know that I'd even
try. I could
try.
Do a four.
All right, we'll do the fast break coming up next.